JC Corcoran Podcast.
I thought maybe I'd try to tell one joke here before we kind of wind things down. And I really couldn't think of any except something true that happened. You remember the fellow JC that was out here from KC Radio earlier? Well, he and I go back a bit. Back to Los Angeles, actually, when we were both single, and he still is, I guess, for obvious reasons, but... Okay, roommate, I guess. And it's a damn good guess. Anyway, there was one time, as young guys will do, and I think those of you who are my age or older can still remember back, you know, there was not always fun, that fun thing to do in the summer, go down to the beach and just see who's there, you know, maybe find a date for Friday night or Saturday night or meet some people, and by that I mean women, and, you know, well, what am I trying to say? Make babies. Actually, attempt to make babies without having one. And he and I used to do that. We'd walk up and down the beach, and I don't know whether I was just lucky or whatever, but... I would meet an awful lot of people, and it worked out real well for me. Poor JC couldn't meet a soul. In fact, people would go, oh, like avert their eyes and hide their children almost when he walked down. He was just so despondent about this, and he finally said to me, he said, Martin, I'm not coming again. He said, because this is just too humiliating for me. I'm not meeting anyone. And I said, JC, I don't usually give advice, but in this case, I feel obliged. Can I give you a couple of pointers that maybe might help you? And he said, sure, you know, because he's a nice fella. I said, number one, the sunglasses with the little ducks in the corner, in the powder blue frames, get rid of those. I said, get the ones like I have, those mirrored ones where it's kind of an aura of mystery, you know, that kind of Italian kind of look, you know, with the wire frames. Get those, you'll be better off. Also, you have a great physique. Oil your body so the definition of those muscles comes out. People, you know, girls like that. They like to see the muscles. And I said, and also that huge yellow bathing suit. I said, get rid of it. It's just, it looks like a tent. I said, do what I do. Wear the little tiny, you know, the European real skimpy briefs. And I said, in fact, even put a potato in this. No, people do that. I swear to God, all the time. I said, it can't hurt. So he said, really? And I said, yeah. And so the next day we went out, and sure enough, JC showed up with all this stuff. We walked up and down the beach maybe for 2 hours, and finally after 2 hours, I had several phone numbers with me at the time, or by that time. JC still had nothing going. And we got back to the little area where you buy hamburgers and Cokes and stuff. And he said, listen, I'm going home. He said, I can't handle this anymore. He said, I did everything you told me to, and it's just not working. I guess it's not in the cards for me. And I said to him, I said, okay, JC, I understand. We're still friends. And he said, oh, yeah. And I said, incidentally, if you ever come here again, I just have one last piece of advice for you. That potato goes in front. Not a pretty picture.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Wednesday, June 22nd, 2022, 142 days remaining in our American democratic system of government as we have known it. How you doing, kids? You are at jcontheline.com. I was looking at my calendar notes. As you know, I've kept all of my planners going all the way back to 1982 so I can look anything up. I can tell you where I was, who I was with on any specific date. And this was, I believe, yeah, I guess it was, in 1998, the second time I traveled with Mark Close. All right, now, in this particular date, 1998, we went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and it had just opened, I guess, recently, and there was some stuff going on, and I think it was like a free thing. We get to go out there and see the Hall of Fame and broadcast from there and everything. I still remember we had Jennifer Lopez on the air that day. And that trip pretty much occurred without incident. But I want to go back to the first time I traveled with Mark Close. And this was about 10 years before that. This is a true story. I'm not kidding. I just told this story over the weekend because we were comparing airline stories. And, you know, American Airlines today, they've announced they're canceling some routes to certain cities. They don't have enough pilots. I sure remember back in the 1970s, it was either Time or Newsweek, and the cover story was running out of everything. We were running out of gas. Remember, we were running out of paper. And it just seemed like almost every other day, they, you know, you turn on the news and they were talking about something else that we were running out of. And that's what this feels like now, except in this particular case, running out of people. Nobody to fly the jets. And let me tell you, I was blissfully unaware of how poorly these airline people are treated. Now, I've dated a couple of flight attendants in my years, and I was like, they're paying you what? $15,000 a year, that's all? And that would have been like the late 80s. Like, okay, now I sort of get the idea of why there's like a two-bedroom condo somewhere up by the airport, and there's like seven girls living there because, number one, they can't afford it anymore. Number two, they're usually not there very often. They're always flying, and their schedules are such that it would be rare where all seven of them be home all at the same time. But even with all that, I still couldn't believe what she was telling me. And then I talked to some more flight attendants. Same thing. You got to want to be not home and flying around all the time. You know, when you're 22 and you're thinking to yourself, hey, this will be great. I'll be in a different city every night. And you get free airline tickets to go exotic places when you want to. It's one of the perks of the job. This is going to be great. When you're 22 and probably looking for a husband. And you'll find one, too. I know two flight attendants who met guys on a plane and married them. And one of them is still married to the same guy today. That was the girl. She lives in Texas now. She was from Belleville. That was the one that told me she was fascinated by me because I was the first guy she ever dated that didn't want to marry her after about the first month. And so I became fascinating to her. But outside of that, the working conditions really stink. But if you think they stink for flight attendants, I started reading something a couple of months ago about the pilots. A lot of these pilots are making shit money, too. And I mean, unbelievably shit money, considering you're flying a 747 around. I just couldn't believe it. You know, guys making like $30,000 a year flying jets. It's like, what's the point? But anyhow, I'm going to take you back to, I believe it was 1988. So Close and I were both working at 93.7 KSD, the classic rock station back then. And we were owned at that time by Gannett, people who own USA Today. And we owned a bunch of TV stations back then, too. And there was a production facility attached to the TV station in Atlanta. And they said, okay, we can use the studio for free on, you know, Wednesday night, whatever. We're going to fly you guys to Atlanta. You're going to record these TV commercials at our studio down there, do it absolutely free. And then you fly home because you got to be on the air the next day. And by the way, as we record this at about 7 o'clock St. Louis time, multi-car crash shuts down 44 eastbound on an Antire Road. So if you take 44 into work and you're west of Antire, go back to bed. Anyhow, so back to Atlanta. And we hired two girls because we had to do this commercial. We were going to have these teeny boppers walk by, and it was just part of the script. So we get to Atlanta, we've got like 6 hours to do this, to record these TV commercials, and television production runs very, very slowly. You do a lot of standing around. So you do the commercials, last flight out of Atlanta back to St. Louis is at 8 o'clock, so you know, we'll get you to the airport in plenty of time, do the commercials, boom. So that's what we do. We do the commercials, and somebody's looking at the clock going, okay, we only have 20 more minutes because we got to get you guys out of here and get you to the airport. And that was in the days before 9/11 where you could drive up to an airport, get out, and walk straight to the gate 10 minutes before the flight takes off. Remember those good old days? So Close and I get to the airport. We get on the plane. We're in first class. We're sitting there. It's supposed to be like an 8 o'clock flight. At about 8:15, the pilot comes on and says, you know, we got a little bit of a problem here. This is going to take about a half an hour to fix, so you're welcome to leave the plane if you want. Just make sure you're back in 30 minutes. Close and I, we hadn't eaten all day. So I was like, let's hop off the plane. Let's just leave all of our stuff here, and I'll hop off the plane. And I saw a little food court, you know, maybe a couple of hundred feet away. Let's go get something. Great. We go get some food, a couple of drinks. We come walking back to the gate like, I don't know, I don't think we were gone 15 or 20 minutes. We come back to the gate, fucking plane is gone. And it's gone with all of our stuff. And we're standing there going, what the, you guys told us a half an hour. And my voice went really high like that too. And the attendants at the gate look horrified. And I have this image in my head of John Candy and Steve Martin in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and that's going to be me and Close. Wake up in the morning, how about that Bears game? Yeah, those aren't pillows. Yo! So these gate attendants, there's like two of them, they're both on different phones, and they're talking, and as God is my witness, they made the plane come back. Now, it had only gotten as far as the runway. I guess it was sitting there in line getting ready to take off. But they made the plane come back and pick us up. And we walked out of that plane, and boy, there's some pissed off looking people. But that was the crew. The people on the plane were looking at us like, you guys must be really important. Close and I come walking onto the plane like Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor's like, yeah, we're bad. That's right. We're bad. All of that on this date in 1998. On this date in 1996, I was in New York interviewing Matthew McConaughey and Sandra Bullock for a movie called A Time to Kill. Pretty good movie. Samuel L. Jackson, by the way, also in that movie. In 1975, on this date, really the first of the big summer blockbuster movies. And today, in 75, was the date that the weekend opening box office totals for a movie called Jaws came out. And it was number one. And if you were around during that time, you know, it's all anybody was talking about for about a year and a half was Jaws. And then a not-so-pleasant memory of something that happened 20 years ago today, and that in itself is pretty remarkable when you stop to think it was 20 years ago. Went to Chicago, Cubs-Cardinal weekend, marvelous weather forecast. It just looks like it's going to be a great weekend in Chicago for Cubs-Cards baseball at Wrigley Field. We get to Chicago on Friday, a little fooling around in the hotel on Friday night. Saturday, get to the ball game nice and early. I was taking somebody with me who had never been to Wrigley Field, so we got there early. We're walking around Wrigleyville, and we get into our seats right behind home plate. I believe it was a 1 o'clock start, 1:20 start. They start those games at Wrigley Field at 1:20. And I'm looking around like it's 1 o'clock, and something just doesn't seem right. The grounds crew isn't out. I don't see any pitchers warming up. They don't even have any lines down. They don't have a batter's box. Nobody's doing anything. What the hell is going on? We're supposed to play baseball here in just a couple of minutes. Well, if you will recall, all the way back in 2002, if you were traveling with your brand new cell phone, you had to do that roaming thing. You had to call the phone company ahead of time with certain plans. And then they would say, oh, okay, so for 3 days you want to be able to call from Chicago. Okay, fine. We'll charge you like $20 or something like that. And a lot of people just didn't do that, present company included. It just seemed like a waste of money. Nobody's going to need me here. I'm in Chicago for the weekend. Nobody from the radio station is going to need me. But some people did do that, or they had a phone plan where that was included. And there started to be a rumor go through the entire ballpark that there had been a death in the Cardinal organization. Nobody knew any details at that point as to what was going on. Now, this is where it gets a little dicey. Now, I like Tom Ackerman at KMOX, but on that particular day, he made a call that still is considered dubious. Let's put it that way. Because, as you know, when somebody dies, they say identification of the person has been withheld pending next of kin, notification of next of kin. In other words, somebody dies, they don't want the family to hear about it on the radio. But KMOX went with it anyhow. And I guess what happened was that a lot of people who were back in St. Louis and waiting for the ball game to start and heard that announcement, started calling their friends at the ballpark in Chicago, basically saying, you ain't going to see any ball game today because Daryl Kyle died. So now that starts rippling through Wrigley Field, you know, 36,000 people there. And this is like a game of what's that game you played when you were a kid? Operator. Where somebody would say something and you'd repeat it, go all the way down the line, and we cut. And by the time it got to the last person, the essence of the message was distorted. But in this particular case, people latched onto it pretty quickly, so that by the time Joe Girardi, who was the team captain for the Chicago Cubs, came out, they put a microphone out there. When they put the mic out there, that's when everybody realized, uh-oh, this is not good. And then Girardi came out, and all he said was there was a tragedy or something, tragedy in the Cardinal organization. It was very, very sad. And everybody, you know, 36,000 people get up and walk out of the place in an orderly fashion. I mean, there wasn't anybody causing any trouble or going, hey, what a ripoff or anything like that. 36,000 people just left in an orderly fashion. But the weird part was, you know, we did something. I forget. We drove around, did sightseeing and everything like that. And then on Saturday night, so let's just walk over to the Cardinals Hotel, just sort of see if anything's going on. And we walked over there, and just as we were walking towards the hotel, I came face-to-face with Fernando Vina, who was playing second base for the Cardinals at that time. And Fernando used to do our show, so we knew each other very well. And I'm telling you, he looked like he had just seen a ghost. That story still freaks me out, and it was 20 years ago. But for anybody who was actually in the ballpark that day, I don't think you'll ever forget that. So let's talk about the new Elvis movie, but I don't know. Sometimes you'd think this country has only produced two entertainers, Marilyn Monroe and Elvis. You start talking about all the movies, TV specials, TV series, plays, musicals, impersonators, books, ABC after school specials, literally thousands of Elvis impersonators, and scenes in movies like True Romance and Pulp Fiction where either Elvis or Marilyn Monroe shows up. This is a legitimate question to ask. In this particular case, do we really need another Elvis movie? Maybe we do if a certain filmmaker has an idea about showing us something about Elvis we've never seen before. Maybe there's an aspect to the superstar's life that has never been uncovered. Maybe Quentin Tarantino could try another one of his alternate endings and, you know, Elvis lives to be 95 and ends the Vietnam War 5 years early. I've been a fan of director Baz Luhrmann going all the way back to 1992 when I was fairly unsuccessful in getting audiences interested in a movie called Strictly Ballroom. Then in 2001, Moulin Rouge, Best Picture Oscar nomination. The guy's got flair, but there's a fundamental problem with the idea of making a film about both Elvis and his longtime manager, Colonel Tom Parker. Elvis remains such a larger-than-life character. I mean, it's really hard to do justice to his life and his career in a standard two-hour movie. But in this movie, Baz Luhrmann tries to tell Elvis's story largely through the eyes of Colonel Tom Parker, and in the process, he failed at both. And at 2 hours and 39 minutes, it's also way too long. There was no room for character development, their true motivation, some sort of insight as to what made these guys tick. Tom Hanks plays the Colonel. I found the Dutch accent he's adopted to play this character very annoying, distracting. It really was sort of grating on me after a while. On the other hand, everything you've heard about this Austin Butler, the young actor who plays the King, is true. Kid's got moves. He's got the look. He's got the mannerisms. He's got the flash. And he pulls off what turns out to be really the only reason to see this movie, though the second half of the film much more entertaining than the first. On a personal note, I don't know about you, but I was more a fan of Elvis's movies. Girl Happy, Viva Las Vegas, Girls, Girls, Girls. That aspect of Elvis's life barely gets touched upon. But if you're one of those people who just adores Elvis and you want to see every movie made about him, you'll have a fine time here. But ultimately, Luhrmann tries to do too much. Film's too long. And like so many movies I see, a lot of memorable scenes, a damned good Elvis in this particular case, but a weak movie after all. I'm giving 3 out of 5 corks for Elvis. It opens on Friday. Speaking of health and health-related issues. They say that this is a safe, simple health test for older adults. Try to stand on one leg for 10 seconds. If you can't do it, don't worry. You might just die within the decade. Researchers in Brazil just published results of a study that found that adults between the ages of 51 and 75 who can't stand on one leg for 10 seconds without any additional support are twice as likely to die within 10 years. Well, come on, if you're 75, you're probably going to die within 10 years anyhow. There's no direct connection between balance and one particular disease, although generally those who failed were in poorer health. Many were obese, heart disease, high blood pressure. So, of course, that contributes to it. That's a stupid story. Researchers in Brazil have discovered old age causes death. Bill Cosby lost another civil sexual assault trial. This one, let's see, it says this was also in 75. She was 16 years old. The jury awarded her $500,000. Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson has settled with 20 of the 24 women suing him for sexual misconduct. Still, no word from the NFL as to what they're going to do. Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul's return as Walt and Jesse for Better Call Saul will be more than just a quick cameo. Bob Odenkirk let that slip. He said, "It's not just one time, and it was great," end quote. A new reality competition game out on Netflix today called Snowflake Mountain. It takes 10 Gen Zers who, so they describe them, they're spoiled. They're spoiled. 10 Gen Zers spoiled. And then what they do is they put them on a mountain and they have to learn to grow up and learn some survival skills. And the prize is $50,000. Cards win one from the Brewers last night in Milwaukee. Series continues tonight. Adam Wainwright working the bump. You've got Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals at 7 o'clock. ABC tonight, Tampa and the Colorado Avalanche. Rob Gronkowski announcing he's retiring. There's a lot of people don't believe it. Late night tonight, Maya Rudolph on with Jimmy Fallon. Sean Hayes filling in for Jimmy Kimmel. David Sedaris on with Colbert. Chris Pratt on with James Corden. Seth Meyers has John Mulaney and Jenny Slate. Top Gun Maverick just passed the $900 million mark. And Kevin Costner's new Western is going to be 11 hours long. They're going to break it up into four parts. And My Big Fat Greek Wedding 3, now filming in Greece, bad idea. Birthdays today, Carson Daly, 49, Mary Lynn Ricegub, that's Chloe on 24. Also, she was part of the Larry Sanders Show there for a couple of years. She's 51. Kurt Warner, 51. Aaron Brockovich, 62. Tracy Pollan, that's Michael J. Fox's wife, and it was his girlfriend on Family Ties. That's how they met. She's 62 today. Cyndi Lauper, love Cyndi Lauper. Just love her. Songs like Time After Time and All Through the Night, True Colors, wonderful, wonderful ballads. And she can rock a little when she wants to. There's a song called Change of Heart that they released back in the probably early 90s, but it didn't do anything. I still remember she performed it on Letterman. I'm like, holy crap, that's a great song. Anyhow, she's 69 today. Meryl Streep, 73. The Bionic Woman, Lindsay Wagner, 73. And Kris Kristofferson is 86. 38 years ago today, Always Look High. That would be Pat Morita and Ralph Macchio and The Karate Kid, the very first one, 84. And it was 14 years ago today, 2008, that George Carlin died of heart failure. He was only 71. I was very proud of myself on the day after George Carlin died because on the air in the old K-Hits morning showgram, the day after George Carlin died, we had Louis Black and Dennis Blair. Now, Dennis Blair had been the opening act for George Carlin for like 12 years, plus they traveled together, and Carlin didn't really like to fly that much. And if they were going from Cleveland to Columbus, they wouldn't fly. They would drive, and they would entertain one another while they were driving. So it was Carlin, Carlin's manager, and then Dennis Blair. And what they used to try to gross each other out. And Louis Black, the reason we had him on is because George Carlin often said, pretty much the only comedian that he was really impressed with back in those days was Louis Black. And we had them both on the air the day after Carlin died. George Carlin was more than just a comedian, just another comedian. I got to tell you, I remember every single thing about the day I bought his album. I had seen him on the Ed Sullivan Show. Everybody pretty much saw him on the Ed Sullivan Show. And he did the hippy dippy weatherman. And the next day, every kid in the neighborhood was talking about this guy, George Carlin. So it took a couple of months. And then the album came out. I still have my original copy, which is interesting because when they reissued it a couple of years later, they put a different cover on. But anybody who has the original cover, that's big stuff. So it was called Takeoffs and Put-Ons. I still remember it was recorded at the Rooster Tail in Detroit, Michigan. And it was that one where, you know, he did all those fake newscasts, did the Hippy Dippy Weatherman, did the Indian Sergeant, which was one of his great bits, did a whole thing about soap operas that was hilarious. See, a lot of people didn't discover George Carlin, you know, in terms of his albums until AM and FM. But that was years later. That was years later. But that first album, if you can get it, Takeoffs and Put-Ons, man, is that stuff good. Wonderful wino in Western Walla Walla. We got the old tunes, the new tunes, the show tunes, the blue tunes, the greatest music in town, but we never play it. You talk to most comedians, because I've had this same discussion with people like Richard Lewis and David Spade. There was hardly a young man alive back in those days when this album came out who didn't memorize that album, Both Sides. That album was responsible for lots of people getting into show business. Like I said, I started this by saying George Carlin wasn't just another comedian. This man had tremendous influence on our culture in ways that I can't even begin to tell you. We'd be here until 4 o'clock this afternoon talking about George Carlin. So what I want to do is I want to play, this is a fairly long routine, but I'm telling you, when you listen to it, it's so masterful. It's such a, this is the Mona Lisa of comedy routines. And very few people have heard this one because it wasn't widely distributed. It was part of a Canadian special that was done a couple of years before he died. And so a lot of people never got a chance to hear it. Now there's a lot of great stuff. We were talking about Wonderful Wino and the Hippy Dippy Weatherman and everything like that. The baseball football comparison. He's got an entire like 5 or 6 minute hunk he did on The Tonight Show just about sports in general. He's done stuff about war. The bit about the Persian Gulf War is amazing. The thing about how America is a big club and you're not part of it. I could stand here all day, you know, reciting famous George Carlin bits. But like I said, this one in particular, I just think is remarkable. This is some of the best comedy writing I've ever heard.
I call this piece advertising. Quality, value, style, service, selection, convenience, economy, savings, performance, experience, hospitality, low rates, friendly service, name brands, easy terms, affordable prices, money-back guarantee, free installation. Free admission, free appraisal, free alterations, free delivery, free estimates, free home trial, and free parking. No cash, no problem. No kidding. No fuss, no muss, no risk, no obligation, no red tape, no hidden charges, no down payment, no entry fee, no purchase necessary, no one will call on you, no payments or interest till December, and no parking. Limited time only, though, so act now, order today, send no money, offer good while supplies last, two to a customer, each item sold separately, batteries not included, mileage may vary. All sales are final. Allow 6 weeks for delivery. Some items not available. Some assembly required. Some restrictions may apply. Shop by mail. Order by phone. Try it in your home. Get one for your car. All entries become our property. Employees not eligible. Entry fees not refundable. Local restrictions apply. Void where prohibited, except in Indiana. So come on in. Come on in for a free demonstration and a free consultation with our friendly professional staff. Our courteous and knowledgeable sales representatives will help you make a selection that's just right for you and just right for your budget. And say, don't forget to pick up your free gift. A classic deluxe custom designer luxury prestige high quality premium select gourmet pocket flashlight. And And if you act now, we'll include an extra added free complimentary bonus gift, a classic deluxe custom designer luxury prestige high quality premium select gourmet leather style wallet with detachable keychain and a pencil holder. It's our way of saying thank you. And if you're not completely satisfied, you pay nothing. Simply return the unused portion for a full refund. No questions asked. It's our way of saying thank you. Keep your free gift. Actually, it's our way of saying bend over just a little further and let us stick this big dick into your ass a little bit deeper. Advertising sells you things you don't need and can't afford that are overpriced and don't work. Go to look at some advertising lingo, especially food advertising. You know the people. Fresh, natural, hearty, old-fashioned, homemade goodness in a can. That kind of stuff. So let's take a look. Let's take a look at some of these words. Old-fashioned. When you hear old-fashioned, you're supposed to think, oh, this goes back to the old days. Right. The old days. Before we had sanitation laws. Before hygiene became popular. Back when botulism was still considered a sauce. Old-fashioned is supposed to give you a warm feeling. Make you think about your grandmother. Well, I don't know about you, but when I'm picking out food, I don't want to be picturing 90 pounds of wrinkles in a black dress. With a big hairy mole sticking out and an infected lip. Old fashioned. Then you have homemade. Homemade. You see this on the packages in the supermarkets. Folks, believe me, it is physically impossible for a food processing plant to produce anything homemade. I don't care if the CEO is living in the basement and cooking on a hot plate. It's not gonna happen. And you shouldn't be eating processed foods and packaged foods anyway. They're no good for you. You know how I stopped eating processed foods? I started picturing the people who were doing the processing. Next time you're in the bus and you see some guy with gangrene on his hands, just picture him on the assembly line putting little pieces of chicken in a box. That'll cure you. Then go home and eat some f***ing grapes. Homemade. You see homemade in the restaurants, too. Homemade soup. I don't care how much the amphetamine-driven waitress with the Marlboro lines in her face reminds you of your mother, the soup is not homemade. Unless someone is living in the kitchen. And if that's the case, I want to check this guy for lesions, carbuncles, impetigo, pink eye, and ringworm. And head lice. Then you have home style. Home style. When the advertising imbeciles realize that homemade sounds too full of shit, they go to home style. Home style flavor. Well, whose home are we talking about? Jeffrey Dahmer's? Believe me, there's nothing home style about the boiled head of a Cambodian teenager, okay? Even if you sprinkle parsley on the hair. Old-style goodness. What does that mean? Nothing. It means nothing. Family-style restaurant. You know what that means? It means there's an argument going on at every table. Two people are crying, and the eldest male is punching the women. Family-style. Family-style. Then you have gourmet. Gourmet. Gourmet dining in a cup. Gourmet cuisine in a can. By the way, whenever you hear cuisine in place of food, be prepared to pay an extra 80%. Gourmet rolls, gourmet coffee, gourmet pizza. These things do not exist. Hearty. Hearty. Soup is hearty. Breakfast is hearty. You know what I do when I hear the word hearty? I look at the label. 300 grams of saturated fat. Hearty, as in heart attack. It's the same with buttery and lemony and chocolatey. Real chocolatey goodness. You know what that means? No f***ing
fucking chocolate. And beware when they add the word flavored to another word. Lemon flavored drink. No fucking lemons. As a pet food now refers to itself as a chicken flavored treat. Well, a dog doesn't know what chicken is. He might like it if you give it to him, but he's not going to say, oh, good, I was hoping we'd have chicken again. And by the way, chicken flavored treat? Right. No fucking chicken. And zesty and tangy. Zesty and tangy are not real words that normal human beings use in conversation. They're advertising words. Do you ever have someone turn to you and say, this is real zesty. And tangy too.
That's the truth too. Nobody's ever said, oh, this is really zesty. Oh man, what a tremendous bit. Now, I edited out one part of that routine that has to do with religion. And maybe we'll play that for you tomorrow. It's shorter, but it's really, really funny. Yeah, but we lost George Carlin with a heart attack on this date in 2008. He was 71 years old. All right, that's it. The J.C. Corcoran Podcast for Wednesday, June 22nd, 2022. 142 days remaining in our American democratic system of government as we have known it. I'm J.C. We are here with the podcast every weekday morning right about this time, just after 7 o'clock. You may email me at jc@jconline.com. Facebook, we're at The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. If you miss a podcast, don't worry. Everything is archived, and I'm still waiting, too. As soon as they give me the date for flipping on our new radio station in St. Louis, I'll pass it along to you guys, too. Have a great day. Stay cool. And in the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.